That's all. Good evening. Why don't you turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 96? If you need a Bible, you should be able to find one under the seat in front of you, somewhere in that row in front of you. Love to have you look along with us, page 687 in that Bible that's provided. 687. Let's pray. Father, we sit around your table and we are humbled. We are humbled by your great love for us, though we don't deserve it. We are humbled by your grace. And Lord, I pray that all attention right now would go to you. You, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, what you've done, and oh, what you have in store. Lift up the spirits of your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, as you know, when we sit at the communion table, it's a time when we primarily look back. We look back and we remember the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for our sins. And that's why we take these elements. We look back remembering what he's done. But before we do that, I want to invite you this evening to look forward. I want to look forward into the future. The glorious reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth. The next five psalms in our study of the book of Psalms, Psalms 96 through 100, look to the future. In fact, these five psalms have been called coronation psalms, psalms that will be sung when Jesus comes again and reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. And these psalms describe what's coming. So let's look to the future. Let's look and see what King Jesus has for us. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. When Jesus Christ returns and when Jesus sets up his kingdom and when Jesus begins to reign as king, we will sing to him. And in fact, the entire earth will sing to Jesus. Think of that. All of the nations of the earth will sing to Jesus. All of the nations of the earth will worship King Jesus and declare his praise. And at that time, we will sing a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. And the idea is a brand new song, a fresh, brand new song that you could even think of as replacing the old songs. And the reason that we're going to be singing a new song at that time is because we are going to be experiencing and enjoying completely brand new living conditions. The prophecies that speak about the kingdom age of Jesus blow your mind. When Jesus is literally reigning as the King of kings and Lord of lords of this planet in Jerusalem, his kingdom will be one of global peace, global prosperity, and global righteousness. Can you just imagine what that's going to be like? I'm telling you tonight, I am really looking forward to singing that new song, aren't you? that new song. Don't get me wrong, I love to sing songs now, and I enjoy my Christian life right now, but let's face it, sometimes it can be very difficult in this life, can't it? Even as Christians. And I'll tell you, just me personally, over the last couple of weeks, just been inundated with bad news. Just hearing stories of the way people are suffering and the pain that people are going through. Even close to home in my wife's family. And hearing the stories of many families at this church that have lost loved ones recently. And the marriages that are hurting, and the people that are out of work. And then you look around the earth and you see so much corruption, pain, suffering. Boy, am I looking forward to the new song. There is a new song that we will one day sing. And knowing, Christian, that one day we get to sing that new song helps us hang on here, doesn't it? Listen to what the song will be about. Verse 4. The Lord is great and greatly to be appraised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now today a lot of people think that strength and beauty are in the gyms, the workout clubs, the spas. You know where the real strength and beauty is? In the sanctuary of God. In a relationship with him. And we will see that with our own eyes in the kingdom age. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. That's the kingdom age. Sing, sing, sing to King Jesus. Give, give, give glory to him, to declare his praise. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Put the name of Jesus in there for verse 13. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to judge the earth. When Jesus comes again, he will be a righteous king and he will be a righteous judge. And he will rule and reign over the entire globe in righteousness. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Think of all the islands that are out there on the planet. All the islands and the continents of the earth will be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods, little g. Zion hears, that's another name for Israel, Jerusalem, and is glad. The daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all the gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Now that psalm tells us that when Jesus Christ comes again, he will come as a mighty, victorious deliverer. It says that when he comes, his lightnings will fill the earth. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes, every dark corner will be exposed. Every pocket of evil will be exposed. When Jesus comes again, he will utterly destroy his enemies. And there will be no more wickedness or evil doers. A fire, picture this, a fire will go before him as he comes in glory, consuming all of his enemies. The Bible teaches that before Jesus Christ comes again, the nations of the world will come against the nation of Israel, and that there will be an Antichrist alive and well on planet Earth. The Bible says that Jesus will come again and he will destroy the Antichrist. He will destroy all of the enemies that have gathered against his people. The Bible goes on to say that when Jesus comes again, he'll send forth his angels and there'll be a separation on the earth. All of the evildoers will be separated unto judgment and condemned, and all of the innocent, righteous people will be saved. The Bible goes on to say that when Jesus Christ comes to reign on the earth, Satan will be done away with. Satan will be thrown in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. All the demons thrown in the pit for 1,000 years. I want you to think of this for just a moment. Think of a world where Satan has no more influence, where there is no more demonic influence, and there are no more enemies, and there will be righteousness and truth. It's coming. Now, again, I know that we get frustrated right now because we see so much wickedness. And we live in a time where it even seems like the bad guys win, where the good guys have a hard time. Have you noticed that? That situation will be flipped radically when Jesus Christ comes again. Psalm 98 goes on. Oh, sing to the Lord a what? A new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Notice verse 3. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of whom? Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Understand, the Bible is absolutely clear that God is not through with the nation of Israel. Israel plays a very prominent role in the last day scenario. God made lots of promises to the nation of Israel, and when Jesus comes again, those promises are going to be fulfilled. Israel, saved Israel, will be redeemed. Jesus will set up shop in Jerusalem. He will reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem, thereby restoring sort of the kingdom of Israel, though it will have a global authority. Verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice. Sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. I can't wait to see that. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he's coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. There is going to be so much singing in the kingdom age. Can you imagine the worship services that will take place in Jerusalem? And you know what the best part about it is I think we'll all be able to sing. I think God will all, he'll give us all voices, good voices, and we will join in one accord with people that play instruments and with the angels and really with all of creation, and it'll be the most amazing praise service in the millennial kingdom. We also see in these coronation psalms that the creation does join in. Nature will join in. I love what it says in verse 7, let the sea roar. Verse 8, let the rivers clap. Let the hills be joyful together. Back in 96, it said, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar. Let the field be joyful. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice. I honestly believe that when Jesus Christ comes again, all of creation will join in singing his praise. Because I believe that the Bible teaches when Jesus comes again, even creation and nature will be much different than it is right now. In fact, we are told in Romans chapter 8, right now, we live in a fallen condition. And did you know that right now, creation groans? The Bible says it's groaning for redemption. The very creation is groaning for redemption. I think I heard my tree groaning in the backyard today. With all the wind and the heat, and you think about all of the things that you can see in creation that need work. The Bible teaches that when Jesus Christ comes again and when he sets up his kingdom, things are going to radically change globally. In fact, I believe that the earth will begin to revert back to what it was like in the Garden of Eden. You read some of the promises. The Bible says that in those days, the globe will be fruitful. You'll even be able to plant and harvest on the mountaintops, which is very hard to do right now. The Bible teaches that in the kingdom age, there's going to be a difference with the wild animals. The wild animals will not only get along with us, but get along with one another. The Bible promises in that age that the lion will lay down right next to the lamb. Can you imagine a lamb and a lion hanging out? The Bible prophesies that in that age, little kids, little toddlers, will play right next to the den of cobras, vipers. The idea is it's going to be utterly safe, fruitful, great prosperity. The Bible teaches that in Jerusalem in that day, there's going to be a river that stretches from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Dead Sea, going right underneath the temple. The Dead Sea, which today is quite dead, will be teeming with life. The Bible speaks that there will be special trees that are planted next to that river. The leaves of those trees will heal the nations. We're even told that those trees will bear a different kind of fruit every month. That is like way cool. What's going to be there this month? In other words, when Jesus reigns, he will usher in that utopia that mankind craves, the paradise. A world of absolute beauty and peace and prosperity. The world that man has been promising for years, the communists, the socialists, even the capitalists. But have we been successful in creating a utopia? Not even close. When King Jesus arrives, there will be. All of creation will join in the praise. Verse 90, Psalm 99, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The holiness of King Jesus reigning on the throne is in the spotlight in Psalm 99. It says, he's holy. Verse 4, the king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is what? Holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Listen, when Jesus reigns as the King of Kings on this earth, he will be a holy king. And his kingdom will be a holy kingdom. And we will worship him in the beauty of holiness. Now, just try to wrap your mind around that. The holiness of God. Pure. Perfect. Other, unique, spotless. Picture a kingdom on planet Earth that's holy with a holy king. I mean, when I think of government today, holiness is the last word that enters my mind. Holiness will characterize the reign of Christ. That's where we're headed. Don't be afraid of that word holy. You know, a lot of people are afraid of that word holy. Some people think, well, if you're holy, you're weird. Or if you're holy, you're boring. Listen, holiness is wholeness. It's health. It's life abundant. It's joy and it's peace. It's pure. It's clean. King Jesus will be a holy king, and he will reign over a holy kingdom. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. When Jesus reigns as king of this earth, he will be a good king. Not just in his function as a king. But in his nature, he'll be kind, gentle, equitable. It says his mercy is everlasting. He will be a merciful king, a gracious king. It says his truth endures to all generations. He'll be a truthful king. Imagine that, a world leader who's truthful. No smoking mirrors. That's what's coming. If you're a Christian here tonight, that's where you're going. That's your future. Psalm 101 also, I believe, speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ reigning as the King of the earth, only he goes about it from a different angle. In Psalm 101, this is a psalm that David wrote on the day that he was inaugurated as the King of Israel. You could look at Psalm 101 as King David's inaugural address. He's just been put on the throne. He's just become the King of Israel. And here's what he writes. This is what he wants to be like as a king. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. As king, I will honor you first, Lord. I will sing praises to you. Verse 2, he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. That's pretty ambitious. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. This is David saying, I'm king and here's how I want to operate. I want to live a perfect life. I want to be blameless. Not only in the way I govern as a king, but in my family. I don't want any wicked things before my eyes. Verse 5, he says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Now, don't you wish that was the inaugural address for our presidents? Can you imagine a president standing up and reading Psalm 101? This is who I want to be as the leader of this nation. I want to walk a blameless life, and I want to rid this land of evil. Well, this is what David wanted to do. This was his ambition. And he was a good king, but did he totally fulfill this? He didn't he? He was a great king, but he was flesh and blood. And we know that he failed in many ways as a king. Scandalous ways. But, as many of you already know, in the Old Testament, David is oftentimes a type of Christ. And in fact, Jesus as the Messiah is often referred to in the New Testament as the son of David. And so, this psalm can again point to Jesus. When Jesus reigns as king, this psalm will fit him to a T. He will be perfect. He will be blameless. He will rid the land of evildoers. He will establish a kingdom of righteousness and holiness and justice. My brother and sister in Christ, some of you tonight may be going through some very difficult times. I know that many are. And I know that it can be really easy sometimes as Christians to struggle. But I want you to know tonight that your future is very secure. Jesus will one day come again, set up his kingdom. And as Christians, I believe that we'll be reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ. You will live the dream. You know, everybody wants to live the dream, right? And the dreams that this world offer, they're fake. The dream that Jesus offers you is real. And if you are a Christian, you will one day be a part of this kingdom. Amen? That's all coming. It is good to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, isn't it? Because we have this certain future hope. And when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, though this life can be tough, though it can be difficult, though there are those trials, you still have him, don't you? And he walks with you. And he carries you. He takes us through the trials. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are blessed in this life as well. Above and beyond what you can imagine. You have forgiveness. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, do you realize that all of your sins have been forgiven? You have his Spirit. You have the promise of his peace and joy. And you have the privilege of being able to be a witness for him with the rest of your life. So a mission to accomplish, a plan, a reason to live. All of that is ours. And I want to remind you tonight, as we sit at the communion table, that the reason we have all that is because Jesus did this. We just sang a song a little while ago. He who lives to be our King also died to be our Savior. Christian. You have a king who wants to blow your mind, bless you for all of eternity. And he gave his life so that you'd get it. And the sacrifice that he made for us was very costly. Jesus was sent. Came to this earth, lived a perfect life. He came to die in the place of sinners, to offer his life as the payment for sin. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. He's holy, and we're all sinners. And the biggest need in every human life is to get the sin washed away. And you can't pay for your sin. You can't wash it away. You can't all of a sudden decide, well, now I'm going to live a perfect life. Well, you'd still have to pay for all the other sins of the past. The biggest problem with the human race is sin. Sin needs to be forgiven. And our sin can be forgiven because our sin was placed on Jesus at the cross. He died in our place. And then he rose again the third day. And he lives to be our Savior and our King for all of eternity. We're going to remember that. We're going to remember that tonight by partaking of these elements. This bread that we're going to distribute represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. This grape juice that we're going to distribute represents the blood of Christ. Jesus told us to remember his great sacrifice for us this way, by partaking. And in so doing, we're proclaiming who he is and what he's done. Christian, I invite you tonight as you sit at the table to thank God for your salvation. To thank God for what he has planned. And it's also very important as you sit at the communion table to evaluate your life. Are you living for him? He's done all this for you, and he's going to do all this later for you. Are you living for him? Or have you turned away from him? At the communion table, you have an opportunity to come back to him. And then it may be that some are here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. Jesus does not become your Savior by default. Jesus becomes your Savior because you invite him to be your Savior. You have to humble yourself. Come before him. Recognize that you're a sinner. Admit that and invite King Jesus into your life. He'll wash away all of your sins and make you a citizen in his kingdom. Let's go before the Lord. Dim those lights. Let's have the worship team come out. Those who are going to help me distribute the elements, why don't you come up? And right now, I want you to get alone with God. Do you know this King? Is this King your personal King? Is he your Savior? Has he saved your soul? You say, well, Terry, how do I get Jesus to be my King? Ask him. Ask him. Put your faith in him. Humble yourself before the God who made you and who wants to bless your life for all of eternity. Humble yourself and tell him tonight that you need him. I invite you, you pray this prayer right along with me right now in the quietness of your heart. Just cry out to him, say, Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Savior. Be my King. Be my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash all my sins away. Give me a brand new start. Plant me firmly in your kingdom. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian who has slipped away, I invite you right now to come back. Look who Jesus is. Look what he's done. Look what he's going to do. Live for him. Live for him. Let him use your life. Return to him. I invite you to return to him tonight. As we distribute these elements, you come back to him. I would ask that you all hold these elements. We'll partake of them together, corporately. Let's worship. Let's examine. Let's pray. Let's thank him.